This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
So this is interesting. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. So when the Super Bowl ended on Sunday night and the Eagles were crowned the champions, congrats again, Perloff, to your birds.
Everyone keeps saying congrats. I didn't block anyone. I didn't catch anything.
Like, no, just take it.
I'll boo you. Boo. Boo.
Somebody said great job to me. Like,
well, you do think that you have some kind of impact. You'll sit in a certain seat.
Yeah.
You'll bet against the team if it means them winning. But anyway, I'm just being nice. But here's the thing. The confetti's falling, and all of a sudden we get the favorites for next year's Super Bowl, because this is the society we live in now. It's always what's next, what's next, what's next. And as the confetti is falling, the sports books are telling us that next year's preseason betting favorite to win the whole thing are the Chiefs and the Ravens. Between then and yesterday, Monday, that changed to now the Eagles are the betting favorite. So the money poured in on Philadelphia. Perloff, you know this team better than all of us. Do you think that the Eagles deserve to be the favorites for next season?
100%. How on earth were the Kansas City Chiefs favored over the Philadelphia Eagles next year after what happened on the field in New Orleans? That's insane to me, right? Like, explain to me the logic.
Well, I mean, you're asking me to get in the minds of the Vegas of Las Vegas, and I think they'd probably just be going off of, well, the Kansas City Chiefs are the dynasty. Three Super Bowls, 6 years, it definitely counts. They did complete the three-peat, but still, they're still the dynasty. Do they deserve to be the favorites?
That's an interesting point, right? They have more stickiness than the Eagles. Last time the Eagles made the Super Bowl, they fell apart. So,
well, that's where I was going with this. And, you know, the Ravens, I don't understand, because the Ravens, we got to see this, guys. Like, Ravens didn't make it past the divisional this year, you know?
The Ravens, though... The Ravens are the one team, even more than your Bills. I think they're a better team than the Bills, up and down. You know, once they fix their defense, they should break through and beat the Chiefs at some point. So should your Bills, but the Ravens, I think, are better positioned, because the Ravens traditionally have had a great defense. Last year, they were great at number one offense, and their defense fell apart.
Yeah.
So I think once they get both sides together, that feels like a team that should break through.
Yeah, but, you know, we got to see Lamar do it. We got to see Josh Allen do it. Haven't seen that yet.
Yeah.
As far as the Eagles, you just touched on it there. This is where I'm fully into celebrating Philadelphia. They deserve everything. They stopped the three-peat. They did it in style. It was dominant on both sides of the ball. But forgive me if I'm not going to go making the Eagles a dynasty, because I do want to see how they handle success. And listen, what happens on the inside in terms of personalities and things like that is obviously very different from the outside. But some similar things are going to happen that happened after you lost the Super Bowl 2 years ago. First and foremost, you're losing your offensive coordinator and Kellen Moore. Now, Vic Fangio is going to stay, and he's the god right now. Nick Fangio, his alter ego. I love Big Friendly. But Vic Fangio is going to stay, at least it looks like it. Kellen Moore is going to leave. And when Shane Steichen and Jonathan Gannon both left, You know, obviously the Eagles found it a little tough to find new blood and new bodies to fill those two coordinator positions. But the most important thing about Kellen Moore is I think that beyond just calling plays, I believe that he served a very unique and important role in the Philadelphia Eagles,
yeah.
Which is he was this sort of bridge, I do believe, between Sirianni and Jalen Hurts. Now, maybe Sirianni and Hurts have patched everything up. This was a report from August of 2024 that the two had a really unhealthy relationship and that Kellen Moore was kind of brought in to be the peacemaker. And you know what? Hats off to you. You did a great job, won the Super Bowl. Now he's going to go to New Orleans and be their head coach. Perloff, who can step in and make sure that relationship stays on the tracks? Because right now, I don't trust that it's not going to get derailed. Just because they're not coming off of a loss, this time it's coming off of a win. It's hard to handle success sometimes, just as it's hard to handle failure.
I mean, you're talking about Kellen Moore. You're as if he's been there. Right? He just got there. They took him off the garbage heap after he was worse than Mike McCarthy in Dallas. Basically, he's floating around. They signed him for 1 year. He was there for 1 year, Maggie. Mm-hmm. He's not part of the institution. Like, how are we going to adjust without Kellen Moore? Okay, he's barely even a presence in the Eagles. They'll be fine. I'm not worried about that at all. I think they promoted two assistants last time. That was a mess. They tried to salvage it at the last minute. Honestly, any offensive coordinator could have won the Super Bowl. The defense won that game.
Yeah, see, I think there was another part of this that he was doing, and it went beyond calling plays. And
But well, explain then 2 years ago. So it was Steichen.
Yeah, and
so
then he left.
Was he the translator before?
I think he was. And I also think that Steichen was the guy who said Jalen Hurts has to start running the ball, remember?
Well,
and
yeah,
that's
what helped them
get to the playoffs that first season with Sirianni when they were 9-8.
Why all of a sudden, maybe Sirianni needed to light a fire under Jalen Hurts. Maybe Sirianni was right. I thought Jalen Hurts mailed in last season. He was either he was hurt or he was lazy. Like, he just would not run. He wouldn't take on a linebacker. At a certain point, it destroyed the Eagles' offense. I think he was probably hurt. He was wearing that bulky knee brace. So maybe Sirianni was right. Maybe Sirianni should be tough on Hurts. Maybe it's all working. Maybe that's the thing. I think at the end of the day, you're just dismissing Nick Sirianni.
I'm not dismissing Sirianni. I just want to wait and see a little bit. I do, because they lost the Super Bowl, and they were 10-1, and the quote was, everyone was walking around like their dog died, and because they had lost the Super Bowl. They could not turn the page, even though they had this gaudy record.
But they looked bad in that. At the end of the 10-1, their defense was really, really taking on water.
Totally. And it's different now. But you want to know what? Challenges come up in a season where they were healthy. They got this unreal production out of rookies. Sometimes rookies, it's not a straight line all the way up. And you're going to hit some bumps in the road. And it's just inevitable. I'm just curious, how are they going to handle it? And if Nick Sirianni is actually going to be the guy to get them through it? Because to me, he's a wild card too. Mm. And I know he's got this amazing winning percentage, and I understand that. But you know what? It's not exactly like he turned around the bad news bears here. You know, he did have what we've learned and what was brought home Sunday with an exclamation point. This roster was awesome from top to bottom.
Right.
They were also healthy at the right time. We never even talked how they got Landon Dickerson back before the game on the offensive line. I mean, there was a lot of things that really broke right for the Eagles, and then they took advantage of it and played the game of the century. I mean, really a dominant performance.
Right, but they're so young. Like, they do line up well as a dynasty because they're quite young. I know, and they have a lot of good salary cap situations. Like, yes, there's going to be Josh Sweat was going to be a problem to resign, but generally they have a lot of young players under contract and they have these great rookies. So if you're looking at the personnel, aren't you thrilled? Jalen Carter's young. Cooper DeJean is young. Quinyon Mitchell is young.
Yeah.
The entire offensive line is young, you know, except for Lane.
Yeah.
But Kelsey's gone. They have three Pro Bowlers under 27 years old on their offensive line. Jordan Mailata did make the Pro Bowl, but he's probably the best left tackle in the NFL. They're young everywhere. Saquon is youngish, but running backs age quickly. But still, like, why would you not think that these guys are going to continue to play at a high level? So at least you have that same great roster moving forward.
Listen, the roster is fantastic. I'm not talking about the talent. But when you have young guys, it does also bring in a little bit more of that, well, how are they going to respond to the success?
Do you really worry about Cooper DeJean and Quinyon Mitchell? They seem like pretty normal guys.
No, but listen, before we all ever started talking about three-peats, remember how tough we were talking about it was to go back-to-back?
Yeah,
and
it
how
is.
The New England Patriots were the last to do it in the early 2000s the Chiefs did it. So I guess I'm just wondering now all of a sudden that the Eagles are going to be the team that's going to buck the trend and they're going to be a back-to-back team or even a dynasty team. I got to wait and see. I do. I have to see how all these young guys and Nick Sirianni handle the success.
But they're certainly, of all the Super Bowl champions of the last several years, they're just as in good a position as anyone. I mean, the Rams won the Super Bowl. They beat the Bengals, and Aaron Donald retired a week later. That was, you don't put them as a repeat champion. This is one of the younger Super Bowl winning teams we've seen in a long time. They're very young. So just naturally, forget all that behind the scenes chemistry stuff. You can't predict that. If you're just looking at a Super Bowl champion who has all their players back, except for, I mean, everyone's coming back. That's the problem with champions too. You lose guys. Who are they losing? Sweaty J. That's about it.
Sweaty J.
And, well, Lane Johnson, after you got him sick at the Super Bowl, maybe that was just too much.
Yeah, right. You're so lucky that I didn't shake his hand on Thursday.
Gosh, look at it. I'm just looking at their depth chart. Look at all the young players. Nolan Smith, Jalen Carter, Jordan Davis. It is Howie Roseman's killed it. So I think they're in a great position to repeat. Again, you told me this last night. I was shocked that the Chiefs and the Ravens open up as favorites over them. Weren't you surprised?
The Ravens, I was a little surprised. I think the Chiefs have a little house money, but the Chiefs are going to have a lot of decisions to make on their roster moving forward. We've been talking about Kelce all morning. Is just the tip of the iceberg.
Well, the Chiefs got killed so bad on Sunday night. That's why I was surprised. I'm like, people think next year the Chiefs are going to be able to beat this young upcoming team when the Chiefs are just getting older and older?
855-212-4227. You know, if you're asking me who do I think has like a chance to be the next dynasty, you know, my gut, do you want to know where my gut took me?
Yeah.
Far away from Philadelphia. My gut told me that the next team that has a chance to be a dynasty, and it's a little because of what your Eagles are doing now, and it's a similar blueprint, would actually maybe be the Packers. Same type of thing. Younger team.
Green Bay Packers?
Yeah, listen, it's hard now because the Eagles beat them and definitely beat them in Philadelphia. But they're a team that I thought was going to be sort of set up. You have Matt LaFleur, gaudy winning percentage record, just like Nick Sirianni does, you know?
Right.
Fantastic. I think, you know, Jordan Love has a potential to be a top five quarterback. Young receivers, they can all grow together. Young defense and first round picks who, you know, need to gel and even more and show their might. Like, my first gut was, wow, the Packers have a shot. Maybe the Lions are losing both coordinators. Maybe they take a tiny bit of a step back. Maybe Goff is a playoff choker. You know, my first gut instinct was Green Bay. Am I crazy?
I think Lions, but...
Yeah, I thought you were saying Lions.
Do you believe in Goff, number one? And two, what is this team going to be like without Ben Johnson and without Aaron Glenn? Now, it's a Dan Campbell operation. He's the heart and soul. I get that. But it's hard when you lose both coordinators. Look what happened to your Eagles. It happened 2 years ago.
Yeah, I totally understand what you're saying. But I feel like the Lions are going to kick the Packers' butt. They're just so much better. No, once you get Hutchinson back in that mix, and you have the GM of the Lions is such a stud that I feel like he's going to give them an edge.
My question to you, Maggie, is it feels like, okay, the Goff issues are, I guess, concerning, but it feels like the Lions with Hutchinson have a Super Bowl roster.
Yeah.
Do you think the Packers have a Super Bowl roster? It feels like they need to add more pieces, right?
I think they do. Right. And I think they're set up to do that.
Okay.
And I don't know. They just feel like they would fit the mold. Now, they haven't done it yet, so I'm making a big leap here, obviously. But they seem like a team that could be set up to go on a bit of a run. We'll see. 855-212-4227.
I think the biggest challenge of the Eagles is not the Packers, but the Lions, because the question is what happens without Ben Johnson, but they have that line, that O-line.
Yeah, they do.
That's the thing. Like, I don't see, and maybe I don't really know it that well, but I don't see that Packers having that dominant O-line. That seems like the common factor of these dynasties, except for Kansas City, who keeps on rotating guys.
Perfect.
And they also, you need the star quarterback. So I guess that's a big issue too.
Who do you think is set up to be the next dynasty? Your Birds?
I think the Eagles are certainly the best setup team. Because those AFC teams kind of beat each other up.
Go Birds!
The Bills don't have any wide receivers. The Ravens, I don't know, but there's something, there's some fundamental element missing with the Ravens, and the Chiefs are getting old. So I think it's easily the Eagles. I don't know, how would he word a poll on this question?
Who set up to be the next dynasty in the NFL? 855-212-4227. Maybe it's just as simple as that.
Yeah, put the Packers, Eagles, Lions, Chiefs, Ravens, Bills.
Or that's, just let people
definitely don't
weigh
have
in.
Seven options.
Yeah,
I'll do as much as I can.
You can't, yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah, just put a question.
Yeah, just put a question. Free for all.
I'm going to write in the Giants.
What year, Manny?
2037.
Okay. When Arch Manning is on his second contract?
When there Arch Manning go. Is 35.
There you go.
Okay, let us know what you think. Which NFL team is set up for the dynasty? Meanwhile, again, it's so hard to even go back to back.
Arch Manning.
But I totally messed up. Donald did come back after the Super Bowl. My point was he was old. I just think nobody thought the Rams had like a one-off deal, right? Remember the Stafford deal? The Eagles are the opposite. They're all young and up and coming, and Howie Roseman on such a heater. Go Birds. Yeah, you do bring up good points. I was kind of defending my team. Maybe Sirianni can't keep them together. But if you just look at personnel, the Eagles are in great shape, right? These guys are studs.
They are good, yeah. And ferocious on defense. How do they handle success? 855-212-4227. Coming up, this may be the funniest thing I've heard in at least 2 days. I could not stop laughing when I heard this piece of audio. We're going to play it for you next. Good morning. Happy Tuesday. It's Maggie Perloff.
Daily. Do you believe in that?
Dion.
You believe in that?
Welcome back to Maggie and Perloff. Perl, you know we got to check in on our favorite college football coach, Deion Sanders. this is some of the funniest audio I've heard. I don't think you've heard it yet, so we're going to surprise you with it. But first, we got to take a bit of a time travel back to last week, where Deion Sanders on his show, We Got Time Today, yes, he has a show, along with being the head coach of the Colorado Buffaloes, was interviewing the Bella Twins. The Bella Twins from professional wrestling, Brie and Nikki Bella.
Oh, right.
You're familiar with their work. So Brie Bella tells Deion Sanders that he was her first celebrity crush.
It's actually middle school.
Okay.
And it was you, Deion.
Yeah.
You were my first celebrity crush.
Yeah.
You should have told me that.
You want to know something crazy?
How did that come about?
Yeah. Okay, so listen to this. So our grandfather.
Is this play or this for real?
No, this is for real.
For real.
Okay, well, it caused trouble in her family because all her family were Eagles fans, like you, Pearl, so they didn't love that young Brie had a crush on Deion.
But my grandfather, full-blooded Italian from South Philly, so we're diehard Philadelphia Eagle fans.
Oh, gotcha.
And it was very hard on my family because they're like, wait, she has Deion Sanders' Dallas Cowboy jersey. And the fact that you were my crush could have got me kicked out of
your
family.
She had your poster on her wall.
Go Birds.
Okay, so legit crush here. Brie Bella, Deion Sanders. It's a middle school thing. So now let's fast forward to Super Bowl Radio Row. Bella Twins back in it, back at it. Deion Sanders, they're doing an interview. This is their show's called Nikki and Brie. It's on YouTube. And now here's Nikki Bella and Deion. And the flirting is hilarious. Just listen to the giggles and try not to laugh.
What's your favorite color?
Well, lately I've been into dark chocolate. So that's been like my thing.
You know. Dark chocolate, huh? You know, dark chocolate.
It's been the flavor of my season, let me tell you.
Yeah, I understand.
You know, more to come. I thought you were going to say red.
No,
but
I like that dark
I mean,
chocolate.
Red is like
she
my favorite, but
chocolate.
I mean, everything.
She did. Yeah, she said dark chocolate.
I like dark chocolate. Yeah, even in my search, you'll see dark chocolate. That is, I feel like.
That is dark chocolate.
I love it. Oh, my God.
What is going on?
I feel very uncomfortable.
What is going on here? No? Oh, come you guys. Stop being like that.
That's
hilarious.
Oh, no, I thought it was hilarious. It was very weird.
The giggling, the silly giggling.
Oh, my God.
Wait, Deion's giggling.
They're all giggling, but yes, Deion's giggling. He's cackling like a jackal.
Oh, my God.
To be 57 to have this kind of riz is crazy. But shout out to Deion Sanders. Man.
Unreal.
I would know nothing about this.
Man. And it's like, it's probably a bit or whatever, but the giggling and he took the bait when she says dark chocolate is, I've just never heard a grown man giggle like that.
Oh my God. Perloff, you seem unimpressed by the Riz.
I don't know. The setup got me all confused. It was funny, but you kind of like, yeah, that was good. I don't know. What am I supposed to do now? I feel bad because I wasn't laughing, but it's funny.
You don't think hearing a grown man, let alone Deion Sanders, the Inner Circle Hall of Famer, is giggling like a little schoolgirl and he and Nikki Bella flirting back and forth with
each other? Do you believe that?
Oh, it's hilarious. It's cringy. It's funny. I just every part of it was just beyond hilarious.
The audio is hilarious, and it's also the watch is also cringy.
Yeah, the watch is a little cringier.
Yeah, it's not even that. Nobody's embarrassed by it. Like they all, I mean, but it's just it's like I feel like I shouldn't be watching this conversation. It feels like this should be happening in some back room or in some VIP suite.
Yeah.
This feels like this shouldn't be on a podcast.
And Bree definitely wants to get up and walk away, which is funny because she's the one who actually had the crush on Deion allegedly in middle school. And now it's Nikki and just overtly flirting with him.
Oh, no. Really?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's it. All right. Well, forget it.
No, I feel so bad now. I feel so bad. It's definitely funny. The setup. The setup overdid it. It overdid it.
All right. Find me another grown man who's giggling like that and bring it to me.
Honestly, Nikki Bella that would make any man.
I got to be honest. Here's a big part of the problem. You're like, well, you know the Bella twins, of course, and my face. Whoosh. I don't know who these people are.
Hey, well, it's okay. She only dated John Cena for like a decade, but that's.
Who?
You can't see him, bro.
No clue. Anyway, I thought that was.
Are they attractive?
Help me out. Google them.
Get that cackle ready, Manny.
Yeah, yeah. So wait. And how old are they?
They're 40. 41, I believe.
Oh, okay. So they're young, attractive women. And Deion, I got to set the scene. I didn't know. You guys were texting about this, and I thought they were completely different people. I thought they were actors or something.
Well,
they've done a lot since, you know, because they're technically retired, though. It looks like Nikki's coming back. So they've done acting. They've done reality TV. They've done it all, really, since their wrestling days.
I'm telling you, Nikki Bella and Deion Sanders as a power couple, now that would be something.
Wait, is Deion single?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, he is. Okay.
Yeah, he left. The woman he was with, I think that was his fiance. I don't know what exactly their thing was, but yeah, they left during his first year in Colorado.
Oh, no.
It's all right, bro. A lot of people break up. They're adults.
See?
It happens.
A guy in retirement breaking up. Like, apparently, that never happens.
Yeah, that was our question before about where are Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift going to make it if he retires. All right. I thought it was funny.
It's funny.
Deion giggling like a little school kid.
Again, it's Nikki Bell. I'm like, I get it. I get it. The thing is, the giggling is great, but also it's that he has the Riz to have the Bella twins also like that.
Mm-hmm.
It just shows you, man, there's a different level of cool. And Deion could be cackling like that, and it doesn't even matter. He's the man.
Oh, yeah, no, quick Google search. I'd be giggling, too.
Manny, you've never seen Manny. The Bella twins?
No.
Interesting.
No.
Deion is definitely.
I'm not the target audience.
No, Deion, definitely. I agree with the thing about the Riz. Like, of course, people are into Deion. Like, he's a cult of personality, right? Like, that's not surprising.
Yeah, wait, I'm sorry, Manny. Though? Manny, you're not the target demographic. You got a Y chromosome. You are the target demographic.
Are you serious? The Bella twins, Manny?
Yeah.
I digress.
There you go. Speechless.
I'd giggle.
No, I think Deion is a one of one. Okay.
Oh, my God.
That giggle. That's so funny to me. Bogish, what do you think? Am I wrong?
You're not wrong.
It's hilarious.
It's hilarious. It's a little weird. And Manny should know who the Bella twins are.
I mean, it looks like the three of them should, like, you know, walk out with Deion in the middle and, you know, he's got a Bella twin on each arm. Now, Bree's married.
Every time I hear the word dark chocolate, I just feel my skin just like, oh, don't say it again. Oh, they said it again. Oh, no, don't say it again. Oh, they said it again.
She said, check my Google searches.
Oh.
Manny's still scrolling. I can see from here. Huh?
Yeah. We're on the third page of Bella Twin photos. Folks, what's going on today?
From Brunson and Hart to the Bella Twins. That's how Manny rolls.
Huh?
Yeah.
He's still underwater.
Luka Doncic is still not 100% healthy. So only 24 minutes in his Lakers debut last night. 14 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, and a 132-113 victory over the Jazz. LeBron, nice as always, let Luka be introduced last on this special occasion.
The amount of cheering there was in the arena was absolutely unbelievable. So I would say that was my favorite part, and to play again.
LeBron added 24 points, 7 rebounds, 8 assists in the Lakers' 6th win in a row. Back in Dallas, the Mavs did not have a good night.
The ball in the hands of Debo. Drives to the left. 2 defenders there. Up fake. Splits defenders. Step through. Scores the basket. Kings lead it. 129-128.
Gary Gerald on Kings Radio. DeMar DeRozan soup with 2 seconds left in overtime was the difference. Sacramento a 129-128 win. Dallas now 2-3 since trading Luka. Also dealing with multiple key injuries. Kyrie preaching patience.
When we started off the season, we're all preaching championship, championship, championship. It's still the same echo, but when you have a big change, it's going to take adjustment period. And with all the injuries, that's an adjustment period. And you just got to take it one day at a time, man.
The Mavs also taking heat overnight for booting multiple fans out of the arena during this game because those fans remain mad at GM Nico Harrison for trading Luka. One guy mouthing fire Nico during a karaoke bit on the Jumbotron during a timeout. Other fans had fire Nico signs and they were escorted out as well.
Yeah. It's
already the worst trade in NBA history? Are we ready to go? It's the most lopsided. I saw the Lakers are the 4 seed in the West now.
Well, Anthony Davis might be dealing with a serious groin injury. I saw Brian Windhorst yesterday say now he's going to see specialists. He might need surgery if this thing keeps going terribly. They've got all these other injuries in their front court. I mean, it just dissolved. It was a terrible idea. It will never make a ton of sense.
Unless Luka is 300 pounds by October 1st.
Yeah, right. He's got to walk in looking like the whale.
Right.
Oh, and Jesus.
The other thing, too, is about the fans and them getting kicked out. And I get it, you being drunk and unruly and screaming things. And I saw Mark Cuban was even going back and forth with some of them. But you know what? Like, you got to also understand what you just did to the fans. And I know it's a technical violation of NBA, whatever, in-arena codes that you can't hold up signs that are disparaging to the team. Ugh. But I'll tell you what, Fire Nico is pretty tame considering what they put the fan base through.
Yeah, and kudos to the guy during the karaoke thing who looks a little like Adam Duritz from Counting Crows, but he's up there like pretending to sing. He's singing along, and when the camera light goes on, he just stops singing and goes,
go. Yeah.
Right into the camera.
Oh, no way. Yeah. That's awesome.
So, I mean they're lucky that guy showed up. They're lucky anyone's showing up to the games because the fan base just feels like they got torpedoed. So, I don't know. You got to expect a little bit of blowback here. And I don't like it when teams try to censor their fans so much and sanitize this away. Like, you made this happen and they're reacting.
Right. You got to eat it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a wildly unpopular move, and the centerpiece of the trade that you got back is now going to be out for a month.
Because he always gets hurt.
Yeah.
I actually watched, don't ask me how I ended up, I watched that Kings Mavericks game. And Kyrie is doing everything he can to try and salvage something out of this, and he's unbelievable, but they have no chance. Like, wasn't this supposed to be a short-term move to get Anthony Davis? That's what you told me, Maggie.
That's what I was told.
Yeah.
That's what everybody was told.
And that DeMar DeRozan is, he is still the mid-range god. He was on fire last night. The West is insane. That's the other thing, too. Like, neither team is going to get out of this West. It's so brutal. So why would you give up your future for this year if you're the Mavericks? I'm going to go drive down after San Antonio. I'm driving to Dallas. And fire Nico.
I mean, good.
Well, they'll throw you out the arena, so you won't last very long.
Like, how long do we need to call it the worst trade ever?
I mean, we forgot another small piece is that Daniel Gafford had to be helped off the court yesterday. So it was just another guy. So Anthony Davis, Derek Lively, and Dwight Powell, and then Gafford. Everyone on the front court's totally hurt.
And I think PJ Washington didn't play last night either.
I mean, I think we're calling it the worst trade now.
Yeah, I don't think that's a big stretch at all.
I mean, the only way it's not is if Luka is out of the league in like 18 months because he's completely insufferable and overweight and falling apart. Which
There's
is like
no way that's going to happen.
But that's my point.
We were saying he's slightly overweight and putting too much pressure on his knees. We weren't saying he's the whale, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, guys, it's a little like sweet tea and maybe a couple Chick-fil-A sandwiches. Like, let's not get that out of shape here.
And that's the problem, because they put too much on that. They should have, if they really wanted to spin this, they should have said bad teammate, other issues. Putting it purely on weight and work ethic means all he has to do is just lose weight and show more work ethic. And then now this whole thing looks ridiculous.
Well, this is why I keep telling you guys, I don't think that this new ownership group, and I tweeted it the day that the trade happened, or when I woke up and saw it the next day, because I was dead asleep. But I think that you have to point to ownership here. And what are they really in this for? What is the Dallas Mavericks ownership really in this for? Is it to field a championship team, or is it to get a foothold in Dallas so that they can eventually have a casino there? Because I'll tell you which way what it's looking like right now.
But okay, and I actually am more into your conspiracy theory today than
I
was.
It's not a conspiracy.
Well, but why get rid of Luka? If everything you described, they want a casino. So give away your best player? Why wouldn't you keep your best player to strengthen your bargaining position?
Don't feel like he's worth the money. Why do you need to field a 300? What was the max? 350?
350.
Okay, why pay somebody $350 when what does it matter?
Oh, I
all you want is the team, the real estate, the influence in the area, and maybe to try to use it as leverage and say, hey, we'll move the team or whatever. And I know that got debunked yesterday.
But they basically, they're going to end up paying somebody, right? I mean, their overall payroll is still going to be massive.
Well, not for a while, because where's the next generational guy they're paying? Not $350. Again,
well, it's not $350 in 1 year, but generally, like, they're going to have max guys, aren't they? I mean, there's no way.
Don't they have to max Anthony Davis the next time he's eligible to sign
and
something?
Yeah, Kyrie's about to get a new deal.
These are older guys, though. That's the thing. That you're not going to be signing those guys to those super maxes, even if it's the max for what they can get.
Right, but what are we talking? What's the difference? I mean, is it
like $100 million versus $350? I think when you're trying to get the biggest casino resort or whatever their stated plans are, guys, I think it's more about the casino than it is about the basketball.
I'm with Perloff with I don't understand how the casino is easier if they're a bad basketball team.
I think it's just they don't care what kind of basketball team they have. Why pay Luka?
They
just want the foothold.
They have a salary floor in the NBA. Like your team payroll has to be a certain number, doesn't it? I think it's like the NFL. So like their payroll is still going to be, I don't think it's going to be massively different. Because when you sign those Supermax, that means you can't sign the other guys. Like I don't think there's a wide range in team payrolls.
I mean, I'd have to look at their salary situation, but I'm sure the Mavs would probably be in a luxury tax, maybe first apron situation.
Right, we're talking about the apron, yeah.
If they signed Luka, which, you know, most teams would happily walk into because he's such a great player.
Right.
If you don't have to deal with that, again, that is cutting cost. It's simple.
Right. I forgot about the apron. But I mean, I still think, like, you're talking about a $200 million payroll versus a $250 million payroll. Is that really big money to these people?
I think you're underestimating it. I think it's a lot more than that.
Okay.
If you're not basketball people, then
what do
maybe.
You care?
Yeah, exactly. Maggie's saying, what do you care?
And by the way, the fans are still showing up. Even though they're upset, they're still showing up. I mean, and I don't trust these owners, guys. I don't think they're in it for the right reasons.
And I think the NBA, I mean, I'm sure Adam Silver has got to be livid. I mean, I know he's probably happy Luka's in L.A.
Yeah.
But, like, Dallas is a good NBA market. That's been an awesome fan base. Since Mark Cuban bought that team, they sell out. The arena's awesome. Like, it's been an engaged fan base for 20-something years. And it was a fan base that was a disaster before that. They basically were almost not an NBA team for the 90s. They were terrible. So it feels like they're walking towards that era again of Mavs basketball, and you're losing a fairly big market now potentially if the Mavs do crater. It's not a good thing.
Folks, what else?
Other NBA action last night. Steph Curry, a season high 38 in the Warriors 125-111 win in Milwaukee. Jason Tatum at 33 in the Celtics 103-85 win in Miami, and the Cavs dumped the T-Wolves 128-107 despite 44 points from Anthony Edwards. Lastly from the NBA, all now right in the world. Trae Young's an all-star, replacing the injured Giannis.
He had 9 turnovers yesterday and 8 assists. Not very good numbers, but continue, folks.
Go back to your computer. And no surprise here, CC Sabathia will wear a Yankees cap in his Hall of Fame plaque. Billy Wagner going to Cooperstown as an Astro.
Can you believe Ichiro Suzuki's not going to be wearing a Yankee hat at Cooperstown? This is asinine.
I know.
Simply, and Billy Wagner not going in as a Met?
Any feelings here from Mets fans about that? I love the baseball. I think every sport should do this where the guys have to choose their team. Like NFL, that'd be great.
Saquon Barkley would go in as an Eagle, right?
Yes.
100%.
That might happen, yeah. But in NFL, you don't get to choose your team.
No, I love it because it also would be like the behind-the-scenes thing. You know, it's if it ended badly with one team, but then you got treated like it would be very revealing if Darrell Revis went in as a Patriot, for example.
Wow, that'd be ridiculous. You can't
I'm
do
just
like
saying
8 years to there, 2 years.
I just would want to know because I don't. How did the Jets? Well, they brought him back, but just for people like that, what really happened behind the scenes could be kind of fun.
Totally, but I think they'd be. You can't do 13 years and like. And then 1 year at the end, like Joe Montana can't go in as a chief.
The ultimate like bleep you.
Jerry Rice is a Seahawk or something. I don't even know what his last name. But yeah, so just to go back, the player has 100% say on.
No. The Hall of Fame does because of Wade Boggs. Remember when he signed with that deal with the Rays to go in as a Ray. So that changed the protocol. Yeah.
Thank you. Okay.
I think it was going to be a Devil Ray. Actually.
Yeah.
Not even the current Rays.
But yeah, the Hall of Fame decides this. Not the player anymore.
Do they have any? But don't they have some influence on it?
I mean, maybe, but I don't. But again, like you couldn't be Jerry Rice and go, "I want to go in as a Raider."
Gotcha.
Like they always can overrule you.
Gotcha.
I mean, Juan Soto is probably gonna be a Hall of Famer someday. That'll be interesting. Mm. It's got to be a Met.
I mean, if he plays all 13 years,
he better be. Shoot.
If he doesn't go in as a Met, something went really wrong.
I'm trying to think of your favorite team, the Mets, which players will not wear Mets hats into the Hall of Fame. This could be a lot.
Thanks for asking.
Could be a lot of guys.
Well, what about Matthew Stafford?
I like this topic.
What if he could go in?
It's got to be a Lion. I think if you have.
Oh, no. I disagree.
This is a good one.
If you have 12 years, I think you have to have an actual statistical number. If you play 75% of your games in one team, you have to go in. I would
literally
put that
making this up on the fly.
Yeah. You can't have 12, 13 years as a Lion and go in as a Ram.
But here's why, though.
Super Bowl MVP.
I would argue that his Lions career did not make him a shoe-in Hall of Famer. The Rams part did. That's why I think he should go in as a Ram.
I hear you. I'm more of a longevity guy. I think that would give you the edge. I totally understand your argument, but Matthew Stafford has to go in as a Lion. Do it for the NFL.
Yeah. 855-212-4227. They should do this in other sports. So we can argue about it. By the way, did you see Aaron Judge had a baby? Other Yankee news.
Yes, I did.
First daughter, Nora.
It's a good name.
They put a picture of her feet. Okay. Lots more to
smaller
do.
Than Maggie's.
For now. Although Aaron Judge is your dad. She might join me one day in the Husky section of the footwear.
The
big, it's just the big and tall.
Don't you just go to the men's sizes?
It's just the ski section. We call shoes.
I'll take a size 9. Yeah, sure. Men's size? Oh, wow.
Yes, I'm 13 years old. Can you point me?
No, not sneakers, sir. I need flippers. Yes.
What are those tennis rackets you walk under in the snow?
Oh, my God. I'll take anything, really. Put me to the Bozo the Clown section. That's
pizza box.
Basically where I have to shop. Okay. Coming up, lots more to do, including we have some news for you coming out of the Bay Area. So we'll get to all things 40.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
The Niners next.
The Defensive Player of the Week is sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly serves the Armed Forces, DOD, veterans, and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. Okay, if you listened to the show yesterday, we all know who Maggie Gray picked. That, of course, it was Milton Williams, your guy.
MVP snub, Milton Williams from the Philadelphia Eagles, the interior lineman, had a sack and also forced the fumble on Mahomes.
He looked amazing. But now,
say his name.
I do not want to publicize him. Apparently, he's a free agent.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and everyone's saying he's going to get the Javon Hargrave deal. Remember, Hargrave had a killer year for the Eagles and so he's gone. That's really annoying. Josh Sweat, also a free agent, also Defensive Player of the Week possibility. And then you had Cooper DeJean and Zach Bond with the interceptions. I'm going to go with Josh Sweat. And by the way, if you didn't do football and you did basketball, EJ, I'm going to be really mad.
I think
you're
going
to be mad.
Really? You didn't do the Super Bowl for defensive?
Let's make a pick, Maggie.
All right. I'm going to go with, you said Josh Sweat.
I'll go Josh Sweat,
I'll go with Cooper DeJean. I mean, he had a pick six on Patrick.
Amazing.
A rookie baited the second greatest quarterback of all time into a pick six in the Super Bowl.
It's the player of the week. Can we make Vic Fangio or Nick Fangio, as he's now known, as a choice?
Nick Fangio. Love you, Big Friendly. Who is it, EJ?
Behind this glass, we celebrate exciting whites.
Back goes Mahomes. He's rushing. He's looking. It's intercepted. It's intercepted. Running with the football to the 25. Down the far side is DeJean. And DeJean is in for a touchdown.
Happy birthday, Cooper DeJean.
Cooper DeJean with a pick for a touchdown.
Cooper DeJean is the Navy Federal Defensive Player of the Week for his pick six on Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl. Sure enough, the day of the Super Bowl, I am about 65% sure that I saw Cooper DeJean's grandparents in the elevator as I was leaving the hotel because we were crossing the Eagle Hotel. They were elderly folks. They were both wearing Cooper DeJean jerseys. I just assumed that was his grandparents. Forgive me if they're not. But to get that kind of play on your birthday, your family in attendance, his first interception for his career was that play. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. I think it really put the game really on ice. I kind of felt like at that point we kind of knew this was going to be a long day for the Chiefs. So Cooper DeJean is the Defensive Player of the Week.
And they also went three and out after that, the Chiefs just could not answer after that pick six. You know who doesn't get any credit, and they actually had a huge pass breakup in that game, is Avante Maddox, who got replaced, right, by Cooper DeJean. And DeJean took his starting spot, what was that, like midway through the season, Pearl? And he actually made a huge play. Everyone came through on the Eagles' team.
Yeah, Avante, also a free agent. So Milton Williams, Josh Sweat, and Avante Maddox are free agents, so I'm glad you're not publicizing that. Maggie's Milton Williams love is a major problem here.
I feel like I should be his agent. I'm like, why didn't anyone mention that he went to Louisiana Tech? Like, we can't get anything about this guy's making these huge plays in the Super Bowl.
He's been good all year. He's really good. I agree. Like, he did not get enough pub. When you have, like, that many defensive stars, it's hard to... Zach Bond could have been easily your guy, too. It's hard to publish. Who's also a free agent,
Love some Bond.
It's kind of annoying. Actually, remember I said the Eagles were set up for a dynasty? And now we're losing all these guys.
Listen, that's what happens with the success. You're gonna have guys who end up leaving. Sean is in Oregon, wants to talk for a moment about Luka Doncic, who made his debut for the Lakers last night. Hey, Sean.
Hey, you guys. I'm stoked about this Luka thing to the Lakers. But you guys are asking him to do something that nobody's ever done before. So at the age of 25 years old, when somebody's successful at anything, I've never seen them change their body type. I've never seen somebody go, oh, yeah, well, I came in here and I played ball, and then now you want me to change my body type just because you say that I'm not good enough.
And that can't be. Sean, that can't be true. You're telling me no NBA player has ever changed their body shape after the age of 25 and gotten in really good shape? That's Charles Barkley
did. Not after they've been called one of the best.
Barkley.
You know, we had a guy that we hired one time, and the boss wanted him to lose weight. I said he was fat when you hired him.
But Charles Barkley, who got to Phoenix and lost 40 pounds.
That's so mean, Sean. You said that about a real person, real life, not like an athlete?
Oh, I hold no punches back, and I was sticking up for the guy.
Wait, Sean, sorry, not to get too personal, but do you have to have a certain body type to do the job that you do?
I have a very athletic job, and I'm a very athletic person. I get up 4:30 in the morning. I'm in the water. I do like a mini triathlon.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure. If you were just pushing papers, I don't know why it would matter if somebody had a couple extra pounds on them.
What are you, a wide receiver for the Oregon Ducks?
No, I'm a commercial painter. I do commercial industrial painting. I work with iron workers.
Okay.
Local 209, baby.
All right. Listen, Flex, I just can't believe you actually said that about somebody. Okay, that's fine. We learn something new every day, Sean. Listen, is he gonna get in shape? Here's my thing about Luka. And Sean, thanks for the call. Good to hear from you, pal. He just made the finals. And he didn't play, like, he wasn't awesome, and I understand that. But you know who else wasn't really great in their first finals? Durant, Westbrook, and James Harden. Now, Durant ended up going on to actually win titles with the Golden State Warriors. I'm just saying, your first time in a finals, it doesn't mean that's how you're going to be for the rest of your career, right?
Like, LeBron was terrible in the finals.
Right, the first time you went.
By the way, I didn't get your analogy, though. You're saying he's going to go like Harden, Westbrook and never win, or he's going to be better in the finals?
No, I'm just saying those guys are all Hall of Famers, right?
Right.
And I think that you show the talent to get there, even when maybe your body isn't in the perfect shape. But it doesn't mean that you can't get back. It doesn't mean that you can't have a great career. It doesn't mean that you can't be a champion. Like, I just don't buy that, right?
Oh, well, I mean, if that's the case, then don't bring up Harden and Westbrook.
I'm just saying, guys.
I think Harden was one of the fears of the Mavs, too. I think they're like, oh, Luka and Harden are two of the most similar players I've ever seen in my life. And I feel like they're like, oh, this guy's going to win a ton of regular season games, but it's never going to get over the hump.
But see, I would argue that it's been the opposite with him.
He's already got to the finals.
Right. He's been a better postseason player than he's been a regular season
player. Harden got to had a lot of success in the playoffs, too, but never really got over the hump. The Mavs
is one of the biggest playoff chokers that
we
have.
He's a big game seven choker, yeah.
Game six and game sevens.
Yeah, but he's generally, both. Look at how many playoff games he's won. He's won a ton. I mean, he took the Rockets to the Western Conference Finals. The guy's been in a lot of playoff games. I just think they're very similar. I think the Mavs got the finals. Like, things really laid out well matchup-wise this year. I think they were a little bit ahead of where they should have been.
And by the way, we keep using James Harden like he's a four-letter word. Like, if you have a James Harden, you're going to be in playoffs every year. You're going to be competing for championships. It's not the worst thing in the world.
It's the worst thing in the world.
Yeah, you guys will never agree on James Harden.
And you like Vince Carter. Give me a break.
I just also think the Luka thing... maybe it's being a little overblown. Maybe the Mavs are really looking for a reason to justify this trade, and they don't want to say the quiet part out loud, which is they just didn't want to pay him.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.